topic. Everybody's here for the counterfeit series. And it is counterfeit acceptance, surrender, and faith. And our first speaker is, one more reading. Come on up. I don't have a prologue here, so help me out.
Good evening. My name is Wendy, and I'm an addict. This is the fire marshal statement. In order to provide an atmosphere that is both safe and pleasant, we are obligated by order of the fire marshal to obey seating capacities. Please do not block the aisles, move chairs, or bring in additional chairs. Please do not block entrances and or exits to meetings, and do not crowd the corridors, making passage difficult. Violation of the fire marshal's orders could result in an immediate closing of the convention. Thank you for your cooperation. If you have any questions, feel free to stop by the convention information booth located in Exhibit Hall C. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, again, I'm an addict. My name's Karen. Our first speaker is Cynthia W. on counterfeit acceptance, and she came all the way from Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's give her some love.
Hey family, my name is Cynthia and I'm an addict.
Hey,
grateful to be here. Blessed to see another day clean. And I'm just honored that this convention committee saw something in me. And it had to be nothing but their God seeing my God and allowing me to do what I need to do to help somebody stay clean just another day. And for that, I am truly grateful. You know, I want to thank God for just being God. I want to thank him for letting me wake up this morning and seeing some bacon in the refrigerator. See, because I remember when there was nothing but baking soda and water. And guess what? I was all right with that because I didn't realize anything was missing. I've been doing what I've been doing for so long. I'm talking about being tired and not even realizing what I'm tired about because it's just okay. The brother was talking about every day, every day, every day. I'm talking about every day for a long time. My topic is acceptance, right? And I didn't come here with none. And on any given day, I might not have any. And on any given day, I might not practice it. And guess why? Because I got a choice. And in the beginning, in active addiction, I didn't. I got here by way of a resentment. Right? I ain't come here brimming and bramming talking about getting clean. I came here because I was angry at the world. And the dope stopped working. See, because the dope was the solution, and then it became the problem. And when it became the problem, guess what? I had to do one more because the problem became the damn problem again. So now I'm homeless, jobless, penniless, and don't know what to do with me. Because I don't even know who I am. I'm talking about being 12 years old, being raped brutally, sodomized, stuck sticks in me and left me for dead in an alley. I'm talking about I got a whole lot to be grateful for. Because see, now I can accept it because in the beginning I wasn't accepting none of it. I was mad at the world and everybody owed me something. Everybody owed me something. It didn't matter. Because I did not know how to deal with life. The literature says our inability to accept personal responsibility is what got me here. And guess what? I can do that shit clean. I can do that clean. But I'm talking about being able to get in touch with a God of my understanding. Y'all told me to get one of them when I got here, right? And I was mad at him too. Because I played the blame game for a long time. A long time. Right? I was so mad. I've been mad so long, I ain't even know what I was mad about for so long. You've been mad so long and then you like talking to somebody and that stuff rub off on them and they mad at the person and they ain't did nothing to them. I'm talking about having no acceptance with who I was. I'm talking about being mad because I ain't had no acceptance. See, I don't know nothing about a first time. I was violated to the T, taken away. When my girlfriends be talking about, hey, when they got done and who, I'm like, wait a minute. I can't talk about that. I'm talking about emotionally unstable, spiritually bankrupt. Wanting to love somebody and wanting somebody to love me. And guess what? I don't know how. Stuck in the triangle of self-obsession, resentment, anger, and fear. There's some things been going on in my life, right? And I'm real grateful to this committee for asking me to come and share. But what I do know is that sometimes the God of my understanding does what he does it decent and in order, right? And when he's ready for it to come out, it's coming out, even when you don't want to, if you allow yourself and position yourself to do what needs to be done. You know, and I'm real grateful that through all that, God put a man in my life. And I've had the opportunity to carry the message in a lot of different places. And one of the things that has happened since I got here, I very rarely talk about my relationships for some reason. I've been praying and I say, God, tell me what I need to talk about tonight. You know, because what I don't want to do is hurt nobody. I don't want to offend anybody. But what I know is that I got to get free of some stuff. I've been holding me hostage. You know, we say in relationships the other person hold. Ain't nobody holding me hostage. I'm my own hostage. Because today I got a choice. And I'm real grateful for that choice. Right? But on some days, because of what happened to me when I was 12 years old, I get stuck on stupid and parked on dumb. I'm talking about insecurities less than not good enough. Why me show up on any given day? So I stay there. Right? But what I know is that I've done some work in this process. Because when I got here, all I wanted to, for somebody to do is love me. And I used to tell people that I went to this function and they said, how you met your husband? And I said, I was walking in function and there he was sitting over there and I went over there to him and I said, God told me you my husband. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, if God said you was my husband, I might need to go with you because I need to get connected with God. Right? And we proceeded to court one another. And what I know that in this process, people grow. We grow up. And what has happened is that I'm not that scared little girl anymore. I'm not that little girl that I have to settle anymore. I'm not that little girl that, you know, no, I'm stuck in the just don't leave me syndrome no more. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Do what you want to do, just don't leave me. See, and I got some exceptions today because I know that I'm not a victim. He ain't did no more to me than I allowed him to do. See, but if I know if I'm stuck in fear, false evidence appearing real, that's where I'm going to stay, right there. So every time he would say or do, I want to question everything. Because before it was just all right. See, and because God uses me in certain areas, I want to walk around like Mr. and Mrs. N.A. You know. Everything is fine. How he doing? He fine. How y'all doing? We all right. Where y'all going now? Such a such a. You know, and get home. He look at me, I look at him. He look at me, I look at him. And as far as it go. I'm talking about being lonely in my own house. and too afraid to change it. And this ain't got nothing to do with him, because he's doing what he do. His process is his process. His process is his process. But see, I got to accept him for who he is. He got to do what he got to do. The fact of the matter is, what am I going to do? Because everything starts and ends with me. So y'all told me to, you know, like, get one of them smart people. A sponsor. To help me learn how to live. And the reason why I did that, because I'm the last one told me to use. I'm the last one told me to use. I need some help. I need some guidance. Because see, there's nothing wrong with growing up. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not that little girl anymore. You know, and what I did was, and I need to say this, I used that for a long time. I used it as an escape, yo, manipulation. Separating myself from reality. Once again, my inability to accept personal responsibility. Do what you're gonna do and keep it moving. I'm talking about having some acceptance with where I came from now. I remember I was telling my sponsors today that people used to say, where you from? And I said, New York. Because I hear a little something in your voice, right? I'm from Norfolk, Virginia, and ain't nothing wrong with it. Right? And I say that because I wasn't even accepting where I was from. I was still trying to impress somebody. Because I didn't realize and I wasn't okay with where I was and who I am. So I wanted you to think because I thought. Check that out. I'm going to put my feelings on you. We're talking about control. Because I'm not comfortable with who I am. Right? And having the ability to say I'm okay with who I am and what I do. Just for the day. You know, through that rape, they told me that I would never have any children. Right? But the God of my understanding saw fit to bless me with twins. I got twins. Right? And my boys are 32 years old. And about 2 years ago, the first one came to me and said, Ma, I got a doctor's appointment and I got to go see what's going on with me. And my son told me that he got MS. Right? And I struggled with that because in my mind, only thing I can see was the end result. Right? The muscle spasms. And I'm like, my son's in law school. I'm like, what's going to happen to him? And the disease said, it's your fault. Then they wanted to tell me that my God was punishing me for something that I did. Which is a lie. Then last year, I get another phone call. And my son said, Mom, my other son said, Mom, I got to go to the doctor. He too has MS. My clean date is July 15, 1998. And up to 2 years ago, I had managed to save almost $15,000. And I thought I was saving it for me. No, I'm talking about for real. I'm talking about I really had freezer money, y'all. I'm talking about money was in the freezer behind meat and stuff like that. No, for real. I'm talking about my husband didn't even know nothing about this money. You understand what I'm saying? Right? And when my son went to the doctor, his medicine was $2,205 a month. We couldn't get no insurance for him at the time. So for almost 4 months, I kicked out that money. And then God, my understanding, saw fit that he can get into a program to pay $50 a month. Thank you, Jesus. I said that because I had a little bit of freezer money left, right? Because like I still needed to weave, the nails, everything done, right? And then, like I said, last year, the other one diagnosed, and here we go again with the same $2,200 a month. So at the end of about 3 months ago, I go on my freezer money. And I'm looking at like $1,100. And I say, God, thank you. Thank you, because I remember when I was looking under the rug for a penny. I'm not, and thinking that I put one there. Y'all get that in a minute. Look, I smoked so much dope that I was hiding stuff from myself and thinking that I had put it there. See, I used to mail money orders to myself. And by the time he got back to me, I owed the dope man. So to have the ability to save that money and not only know have the acceptance that the money wasn't for me in the beginning, the God of my understanding already had a plan for it. He already knew what was about to happen. So I'm talking about being able to have some acceptance with that and not be mad about it. I'm talking about being grateful that I can be a mother today to my kids and be there for them. I'm going to tell y'all a story right quick, right? One time in the state of North Carolina, right? They told me that I would never, ever drive on their highways again. Because I was going to kill somebody or somebody was going to kill me. I got 4 DWIs in a year. Right, so one of these particular DWIs, I was coming from court. Right? And they ain't locked me up. So here we go. I'm going to the store to get me a 40. Celebrating. Right? It's raining. I'm full. I'm done. I'm celebrating. I hit a tree. Went across the ditch and hit a tree. Behind me was my children's school bus. I get out the car, and I'm cussing the car out. My kids and their friends see this. I'm talking about instilling shame and guilt in my children, and they ain't even doing no dope. I'm talking about being caught up in the grips of the disease of addiction and can't stop. I'm talking about having some acceptance that I came in here and I was tired. I was tired of selling my soul. I was tired of living the way that I was living. And I was real grateful for that gift of desperation. I'm talking about being real grateful, knowing that I just don't want to use no more. But not even really believing. Anybody ever just wanted to stop? And you meant it with everything in you that you wanted to stop. And you knew this time that this was the time. But in the back of your mind, you knew you just had one more run. But you really wanted to stop. And I remember thanking God for giving me that open-mindedness just one last time. Giving me that moment of clarity this one last time. Accepting the fact that I am an addict. But I am a recovering addict. And I am so grateful for what is going on in my life. I'm so grateful that God has allowed me to grow up in this process. I'm so grateful that I do have someone in my life that I know loves me unconditionally. I'm not talking about taking any chips or any wooden nickels. I'm talking about it's just okay. There's nothing wrong with growing up in the process. There's nothing wrong with him. And there's nothing wrong with me. We just grew up. And it happens like that. It doesn't mean I don't love him. It don't mean he don't love me. It simply means he grew up, and so did I. And I'm real grateful for that. And what he did was, he writes stuff. And when I share, he has a tendency to write nice little things for me. And I'm going to share this and I'm going to shut it down. The most useless thing is to worry. The greatest joy is giving. The greatest loss is self-respect. The most satisfying work is helping others. The ugliest trait is selfishness. The most endangered species are trusted servants. The greatest natural resources are newcomers. The greatest shot in the arm is sponsorship. The greatest problem to overcome is fear. The most crippling failures are excuses. The most powerful force in the world is love. The worst thing to be without is hope. The deadliest weapon is the tongue. The two most powerful words we can. Our greatest assets is faith. The most worthless emotion is self-pity. The most beautiful attire is a smile. The most contagious spiritual principle is willingness. The most effective way to share is a hug. The most powerful channel of communication is prayer. And the most important thing in life is God. My name is Cynthia. Thanks for letting me share.
Love you too.